think the yes, we're all the church, and but one particular person, you know, Don has verified what a mean-spirited father that I had on my life, and I grew up really hating him. And when he died, I didn't even care. I wouldn't even go to his funeral or anything, because I just despised him so bad. And that's what I brought the night I got saved at all. It just was gone. And this young man came up and he said, my mom's been dead for 2 years and I hated her so bad and I've been carrying it and I just don't know how to get rid of it. How did you do that? And that opened up the door. I just said, I found out that forgiveness doesn't mean that everything is all right. It just means that I don't have to carry it anymore. Because a lot of times we think if we hold back forgiveness, it's going to hurt the other person. Well, how's it going to hurt somebody that's been dead for 2 years? They could give a hoot. And you're the one taking on all of those cares. And I just presented it to him like that. And I said, and this is kind of the way I prayed that night I got saved. And I said, if you really want to be free from that, you're holding on to all that hatred and bitterness in your heart towards your mom, then I don't know anything else to help you that it worked for me. And here's the prayer. Repeat it with me. And before he was done, he was just sobbing because he got free. Yeah. Because it's like losing that big sack of taters off your back when you drag something around your life and, you know, you drink and do drugs or whatever your thing is, and you never deal with it. But when the time comes and you're ready to deal with it, you just give it to the Lord and you're free. I mean, it's literally that easy. And I don't know why we tend to make it more difficult than it needs to be. But anyways, he went back to his cell that night, a happy camper, yeah, and very free. Yeah. And that, to me personally, was worth it all, because they could relate to the drugs and all that stuff, a lot of them. And some of you never had that battle in your life because you were wiser than me and you didn't get into all those things. But that was kind of some of the things that I talked about. And but other people get hung up on other stuff. But the thing of it is, was I could just tell. You could tell when you're reaching an audience, if you will. Here we all know each other so well and we share these things together, and it's a very uplifting and encouraging time on Sundays. I mean, even like today, look how many have shared already. We've only been in here a half an hour. But when you go there, they might hear something once a week. My other blessing was Betty. Yeah. I've known John and Betty Nunnicoven for nearly 40 years. They were two of the first believers when Faith and I moved back from Florida. We used to have prayer meetings downstairs at St. Luke's Episcopal Church with John and Betty, going years back. And then when this building became available, that was February 6th, 1983. That was a long time ago. And knowing that they had been going, and John went home to be with the Lord, and Betty came, and I could just tell, it was like, oh, Mama's in the house. And all those guys came and gathered around her, and it was such a blessing to her. John asked her to do the opening prayer for the guys, and a lot of wonderful things happened that night. And when each of us have different things to share about it, but seeing Betty there again, because since she and John had been going there for probably 20 years, that's a long time, and a lot of people have been there a long time, and they know them very well. And I think Betty really got blessed by being back there too, because she never lost that. She never lost that spark. But when the love of her life went home to be with the Lord, it left a void, it left a vacuum. And I think it brought some healing for her to be there, to come back and see all the people that they're like disciples, and how responsive they were to her. And that was such a blessing too. So even there are people in prison today that aren't behind bars. But the gospel works, and it works every time if the person's willing to receive it. It's important to have your receivers on all the time. Speaking of God's medicine, Don reminded me that there's still a big stack of these gospels. You take them 3 times a day. If you want to roll it up and put it in a little prescription bottle and put it on the fridge, it'll help you to remember. And so please, these are by Charles Capps. It says Daily Dose by Charles Capps. And they're verses of scripture to help you to be able to do something with your stuff or with your situation. To defeat worry and fear, confess these gospels 3 times a day. And it gives you scriptures that deal with that issue. And so there is just kind of neat, the vision that he had, and he called it the gospel. And he's a man of great wisdom and discernment, and Gary has a few of his booklets, and his daughter now has carried on the ministry and not only brought back some of her dad's really good teaching for how to walk your faith out and not with condemnation and guilt and shame. He talks how you live your faith with confidence and boldness. And it's like Andy said, God wrote those words for every one of us, and they're to be taken and received because they came from your Father. So there's plenty of them back there. Grab one, because Don, should we pray for you now? Yes, Wayne? We're going to pray for you now. This is the time, yes.
It's as good a time as any.
We do everything by appointment.
I can't hear them. Too many witnesses. I don't want to with the word of God.
Oh, man.
And we have to pray for this guy, too. And his wife. Who's downstairs, probably. Yeah.
Stirring the taters.
Can I pray with him?
Yes, please. Anybody that would like to, yep. Because, you know, when we send somebody out, and it's a long ways, and if you don't like it, you can't just come home that suddenly.
No.
So, and he wouldn't want to.
No.
So if you all would just be with us in prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to send your diplomat, your ambassador. Mm-hmm. And not only does he represent his home, he represents his town, his home fellowship. But more importantly than that, he goes as an ambassador for Christ, and he represents your kingdom. And Father, as people see him and receive from him, it will be as though they're receiving from you. We thank you for covering him completely. A shield of protection. A bubble to keep him in a safe place. Spirit, soul, and body. We thank you that the words he speaks will be the words that you put in his spirit to speak. We thank you that the places he goes will be those that are foreordained by you for him to walk. Mm-hmm. And if it's mountainous, we thank you that he has beautiful feet, because he's going to be in the mountains and bring good news. So he can truly biblically say that he has beautiful feet. Mm-hmm. And I thank you that you give him physical strength for his body. There are long days. And I thank you, Lord, that he'll not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season he'll reap if he faints not. And I thank you, Father. Thank you so much for the joy of being one of his sender offers. Mm-hmm. You guys can pray too if you like. And John, go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus. I just want to remind you of that word that I shared with you, I think it was a month ago, when you when you gave your presentation. The Lord gave me a word, and it was like Jehoshaphat when the army went out against the enemies that were coming against Jerusalem. They sent the praisers out first, and the Lord fought the battle for them, and it took 3 days for the Israelite, the Jews, to gather up the spoils. And that's your job is to praise in the place of any obstacle. Your job is to praise the Lord, and His job is to give you the spoils. It's going to take you 3 days, just like those conferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 day conference. Yeah. You are going to gather the spoils from the enemy. So, Lord, we just bless that word. We bless.
Yes.
We thank you that you always go before us, and so you've gone before Wayne, and all he has to do is praise you and gather up what you are providing. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Father, we also pray for Rick and Faith as they travel to Oklahoma, that they could have safe travels out and back, and feel the power and anointing your Holy Spirit on the whole trip, and bless them in the time they have with their family over this holiday season. Keep them safe, and I pray for both Wayne and Rick for traveling mercies and all places they go, and bring them back home safely to us. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Father God, I thank you for these two. Please protect and watch over them. Please give them traveling mercies. Even though they're going to two different locations, I know you'll be with them both, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And we're going to anoint you with oil.
Sure.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. You stand close to me, you get the splat.
Get the overflow.
Oh, man. Who said church had to be so serious with all the long faces like we're at a funeral?
It's a serious moment.
It is, but it's a joyful moment.
Oh, exactly.
And may the oil of joy keep you and be your strength.
Yes.
And keep you healthy, whole, and rejuvenated each night.
Mm.
Even if you only get a few hours of sleep, you'll wake up fully refreshed and restored for each new day there.
Hallelujah.
And may you never get discouraged to not want to go again. May that fire and that zeal stay in your bones all the days of your life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. That's a good missionary prayer,
that we
never tire of being sent by the Lord, because it's always good.
Lord, I thank you for my brother Rick. And God, I pray for the, he's going to be a peace bearer when he goes visiting his family. Just the anointing of peace to come upon him and Faith, Lord God, as they minister and just speak and love up on their family. And God, I just sense there's outsiders that are going to be around as well. I pray that that message of peace that comes through the person of Jesus Christ would be magnified and would be received wholeheartedly to your glory, Jesus. Amen.
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 Now, that was a setup for the missions offering. I promised you I would do better at remembering.
And I'm impressed you remembered it.
Well, you know, sometimes I'm trying to hear spiritually what's going on and be aware. And truthfully, I just don't even think about money or offerings or anything like that. And that's a joy to be that way, because a lot of places it isn't. You all been there. Sometimes they come around with a basket on a long stick and make you feel bad, you know, and we don't do that. This is a joyful occasion. And we all know Mission Sunday. We frequently send people out, and it's wonderful. We got one in the house. And so, Father, we just thank you today. We do this together. And it's a joy to give, because we know that there are some in the house that wouldn't fly in anything higher than their ankle bones. And that's okay. But they're good givers, because they're into this. This is a missions church. It always has been. And Father, we thank you. We don't have to make a big to-do about it. We just do it because it's the right thing to do to help somebody go. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we just let you all pass it back to the next row behind you, and off one of them goes. And that's so exciting. And Wayne, it's a joy to be able to just send you. Last year, things didn't work out that you couldn't go, but this year, you're a goner, man. Got to say that in the right way, huh? So as I said before, we will have communion as part of the opening scripture. And we'll start with the opening scripture and then a little pause so that we can have some more time of praise and worship and then pick that back up and conclude with communion before we go downstairs for lunch. It seems like that might flow quite well, because this is one of those kind of things where you can kind of do the two separately, but one leads to the other. Because I didn't think this was going to be a communion scripture, but it's going to turn into one. And I was hesitant at first about how it came to me, so I've written it all down as it did. The scripture that I have to open with is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 15. And it's an interesting portion of scripture, because it sounds kind of rough in the beginning, but I knew this was the one. And in the King James, it says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast." Now, just ponder on that for a few minutes. All the days of the afflicted are evil. And so I had to get some different definitions of afflicted, because I thought I kind of knew what it meant. But I have a really good dictionary that has biblical meanings for the words that are used in the scriptures. And Amplified Bible says, "All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a glad heart has a continual feast regardless of the circumstances." So you're going to see a contrast in this, but you're also going to see where to go with it. And it's going to lead us ultimately to Isaiah chapter 53 and what Jesus has already done. So that's kind of the flow of this. Because I know we'll be taking a break in a few minutes. But afflicted, affected with continued or often repeated pain or torment, either of the body or the mind. Now, the mind issue came up among us today already about our thoughts. And people can be tormented in their thought life. If you don't know what to... Yes?
Could I read it out of the Classic Amplified, please? Because it adds a little more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing it on. I don't have all the translations, so bring it on. It'll be good. Oh, I thought you were going to carry on. Oh, come on. I'm one of you guys. You know that. Somebody else in the house has got a word. I'm going to stand back. Okay. So I had started to the definition. Often repeated pain or torment, either of the body or the mind. So it's not something that comes and goes quickly. This is not talking about that. It's talking about the person who has been captured by something, if you will, and they can't seem to get free. They don't know what to do, and they just stay in that funk. And I have a little testimony about that, because I was reminded this morning of a person who corresponds with me that's in this funky thinking all the time. And no matter what I write back to bring encouragement, the person finds something wrong with that, so that they can stay in that same thought process. And it doesn't come from the Lord. It's evil. Because it captures and it torments. And it's in the person's thought life. They're not a church-going, Bible-reading believer. It's very marginal. And so I'll never stop riding with this person because they keep hanging on. But as soon as I give them something that's going to be helpful, they find something wrong with that. And then they stay in that situation. They don't ever get out of it. And so that's the person that this is talking about. They see everything as bad. They don't see any good in anything, and they're trapped. And so if you keep that in mind, it's like suffering grief or distress of any kind. In the middle of all this, I went to a funeral yesterday and was over there for 2.5 hours. And I saw people grieving, people that I know. I knew the person that had died, and the service was very long, and there were a lot of grieving people. And there's a normal grieving for the loss of a loved one or a family member or a friend. That's different than a spirit of grief, where you're never free. That spirit will keep you bound in grieving. My gosh, I've just known people who, it's almost like they have a ministry of grieving, and then I don't know how else to describe it. But it has entrapped them and enslaved them in their thinking. And these are serious things. And so there's a big difference between the natural and caring or sharing the emotion of grief versus the spirit of grief, which will continue to bring or manifest torment its victims, unless or until the person will allow God to set them free. That's a real key. See, this person hasn't come there yet, because then they wouldn't have anything bad to say anymore. That's the difference. Do you know anybody like that in your life that is so negative? You almost have to leave the room because no matter what you say, they're still hung up in those things. That's what this is talking about. And this is going to be helpful to us. It's helpful to me, even what Jesse spoke this morning. All the stuff is connected. And the only way they're going to get free is to let God take that off their life, but they got to be willing to dump it. Gary and I used to have a little joke together. He'd bring his stuff out of his car that he wanted to throw away, and he would come in and he'd say, can I leave my trash here? I said, you'll never find a better place to leave your trash. That's why we're here. This is like a spiritual hospital for all of us. We come here to be healed. We come here to be delivered. We come here to be encouraged and to get out of that funky thinking. And so here's some other symptoms of what the writer's talking about. Other symptoms of affliction: unforgiveness and its fruit of a hardened or stony heart. Because that's what's going to follow. That's the fruit of that if you don't deal with it. Bitterness, never or very seldom able to see the good in anything, loathing and self-pity. And afflictions are experienced by both the lost and the saved. And here's the proof. Psalm 34:19. We're going to go to a different one. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Who's the righteous? That's right. And it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So don't think that we're exempt from these things. You just don't have to stay there. But the Lord delivers him out of three on Tuesday night if they came to Bible study with Jesse. I know that's got to be true. Oh, God, I got to come down here. All of them. That's cool. If I could touch all 88 keys on here, that would be all of them. But that's like this piano. It has 88 keys, and Ken can't touch them all no matter how big his hands are. But God's got bigger hands, and he can touch all 88 keys of the piano in your head for that. But you got to let him play the tune. That's spontaneous. I hadn't even thought about the piano. Wow, miracles happen even when I'm here. They're going to continue when I'm not. You're going to see some wonderful things. And so, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I said, if we allow him to, because the provision is already available. And after huggy break and some time of praise and worship, I'm going to read where the provision is and how you receive it. Yes, Jana. Amen. Isn't that cool? We come here, we never know what's going to happen except that God's here and all these wonderful things happen. It's like each one of you here, it's like you're woven into like a tapestry of beauty before the Lord. Each one of you, whether you had something to say or not, you're here. And how every week the Lord just, you know, Paul talks about the body being knit together in love. And any of you that do any knitting or stitching or whatever you do that you sew and make things, it's so beautiful how it all fits together. And so, and I'm really glad because this is a special day again. This is very...
Can I give a quick testimony on those two verses that you shared?
Oh, you certainly may.
A righteous man may have many